Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for tuning in. Our middle show of the work week. In fact, this is the midway point of the work week. Dead center. We are halfway home. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You know this. I'm sure you know this, but I'm going to remind you anyway. Friday is the last day of July. What? What? That's my reaction to Friday being the last day of July. NFL training camps are officially underway, though right now it's more about the testing with no preseason games. It's about the intake testing. It's about rosters getting trimmed to 80 players at a certain point. It's about these guys focusing on conditioning and, for now, ramping up the workouts where many of them haven't been able to work out and haven't done any type of football activity for the past couple of months. The NBA and the NHL are days away from dropping into their restarts. And with the NHL, fantastic news, there have been no positive COVID-19 tests in either of the hub cities since they got into their bubbles. None. There have been no positive tests in either Edmonton or Toronto. In the NBA, same situation. There have been no positive tests inside the Orlando bubble. So all of you who point to contact sport and how easy it is to transmit bodily fluids, well, yeah, but you can't pass the virus if you don't have the virus. It's not spontaneous combustion. And so this is great news for the NHL and the NBA. No positive tests so far inside the bubble. I don't know if that means that Adam Silver and Gary Bettman are sleeping more comfortably at night. Probably not. There's always a chance something could go wrong, Lou Williams. But, especially when you consider what happened in baseball. But that's a completely different scenario. In these bubble cities, three of them, no positive tests. And it's worth pointing out again, I'm going to keep pointing this out. Since last Friday, since the first day, major day of the baseball season, so of course there were two games on Thursday night, but opening day for the majority of the teams going back to last Friday, only one baseball franchise has had positive tests. That's the Marlins. The other 29 teams have all come back negative. They are accepting the personal responsibility. They are remaining accountable. They are putting the good of the team, maybe their at-risk managers and coaches, the umpires, they're putting all of that ahead of what their own personal desires might be. Because they're not in a bubble and they're around other people for their day jobs, well, then it's important when they get back to their families, they also take special precautions there. As we heard from Jason Stark when he joined us, oh, I guess it was two weeks ago on CBS Sports Radio, he mentioned there are a good number of baseball players who are actually living apart from their families because it takes that element, that risk factor away. These guys are doing what they need to do. The Marlins learned the hard way. I don't know how they got the virus. There's all kinds of speculation. Maybe at some point baseball will indicate. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible to play a sport and have your team, your franchise, your division, your entire league remain COVID free. It's not impossible. The NHL is doing it. The NBA is doing it. Major League Baseball has done it for the majority of its teams. What did Rob Manfred say? The positive test rate is 0.4%. If that's what it was in the United States of America, do you know how thrilled people would be? Come on, you guys. There's far more positive news surrounding sports and the virus than there is negative. And yet, to me, now I know I spend time on social media. I wish I didn't have to, but I do. To me, it feels like there are people out there who are rooting for this whole thing to go to hell in a handbasket, which is why what Kyle Brandt tweeted appealed to me. And I've said, honestly, I don't know anyone inside the NFL media world who is rooting for football to go down, down, down in flames. I've spoken to Kimberly Jones in person. We ran into each other. I have contacts and colleagues and friends that work with various other NFL teams. We're all in the same boat. At least the people I've talked to, desperately wanting football to get up and running. Why? Because football drives the bus. The NFL is the number one most talked about, most debated, most listener friendly and listener attractive and listener entertaining sport on the planet. I learned that in my previous network. Football drives the bus, baby. When you can talk about football, talk about football. Even if you can't talk about football, talk about football. So for our jobs and our livelihoods, I would be devastated if the NFL didn't go forward. Not only because I'm a huge fan, but more so because I can't imagine a fall doing this job without the NFL. Far more than what we've already endured in our business. In the spring, with maybe it's because there was the promise of the playoffs eventually getting on the court and the ice. Because I mostly believe that baseball would find some real estate for its season. If football was canceled, it would be devastating in a way that I didn't feel it. Other than March Madness and the college sports season being shut down, I felt it for those young athletes. But I never really thought basketball, hockey, baseball wouldn't resume. Golf, NASCAR, UFC, soccer, they've all been operating now for weeks. In fact, 2 months for NASCAR and for UFC. If football was canceled, I don't even know how I would do my job for the fall. I'd figure it out because that's what I'm supposed to do, but I can't even imagine. So in my circle, the people I know, everyone's rooting for the NFL to move forward and is thrilled about the way the NFL is throwing brain power and money at the problem. Three tests you have to pass before you can get into the training facilities. At this point, the league, the Players Association, they've handled everything the right way, but they're just now getting to training camps. Everyone I know remains largely confident that there will be an NFL season. But when Kyle says he believes there's a segment of the NFL media that's almost rooting for COVID to affect the season, I do feel that with listeners. I do feel that with those of you who find me on social media. It's like a diamond in the rough when I hear from someone who is optimistic about sports moving forward. And I don't know why that is. Is it because when we're miserable, we love company? We want everyone else to be miserable too. That is human nature. It's a cliche for a reason. Misery loves company. Very often when we're miserable, we want to drag everybody else down with us. Very often when we feel like we're sinking, we want to drag other people down into that same sinkhole with us. And I don't know how to change that. And I don't want to change you. You are who you are. I'm glad you listen. I'm glad you weigh in. But honestly, I don't even want to read your comments on Facebook or on Twitter. I skim them now. I skim them for words that are inappropriate for political conversations. I delete those and then I move on. I cannot read most of what you're writing because it's so depressing. And so while I don't know about the NFL media, Kyle Brandt is more connected to the NFL specific media than I am. I do absolutely agree that there are a lot of people out there who would laugh if sports got shut down, who would love it. Whatever your reasons are, you don't like the fact that athletes are kneeling during the national anthem. You don't like their political statements. You think they get paid too much money. You think they're spoiled rotten or thugs, which all of that is, it applies to a portion, maybe. Most of these guys are family guys. And yeah, they make a lot of money, some of them for what they do for a living, but they're damn good at it. And we love watching them. Why do you have any issue with people making a bunch of money for what they do well? It's America. That's what you're supposed to do. Not just that, but it's not your money. Who cares? I will never understand that argument. And I've told you over and over, it's not just entertainment. It might be for you. And I hope you get your entertainment. I hope you get your distraction. I hope you get your reason to tune in and cheer and stand up and smile and forget for a few moments everything else that's going on. It's okay to forget every now and then. While the Dodgers and the Astros were having their benches clearing conversation, I love just sinking back into this 2-year-old grudge, feeling like for a second there, it was all about baseball, had nothing to do with the virus. It's okay to enjoy those moments because they are few and far between in 2020. But I continue to try to point out to you, I don't think it sinks in, and that's fine. I get paid to talk regardless of whether anyone's listening. It's not just about the athletes or the coaches. Sports are a big business, which is why so many states and municipalities are willing to reopen facilities and welcome these sports teams back. It means more business for their hotels, more business for their restaurants. Just in general, having football on TV, it's better for the media industry, many of whom are out of work right now. It's better for sports memorabilia, jersey sales. It's better for gambling industry. Fantasy football. By the way, I did decide that I would play. It's better for PR companies, agents. It's a business that generates billions of dollars. You already know this. And yeah, there's some people getting rich off of it, but there's a whole lot of other people that just need it for their jobs. They just need it for their paychecks. They need it to support their families. And so I do feel like Kyle's on to something, though maybe not necessarily in the media, or he knows different people than I do. But do you feel that way? I cannot be doomy and gloomy. I can't. You know me. That's not me. I can't operate that way, and I won't, and I don't feel that way. It's not like I'm faking it. I'm sitting here in this chair. I actually am depressed beyond belief, but yet I'm faking it for the good of the radio show. No, there's so much positive. There are many reasons to hope. Again, NBA and NHL, they're in it. They're not shutting down. They're operating in a virus-free environment. Baseball, the majority of them, they continue on. Even the Yankees, who had their schedule interrupted, I admire how they handled it. So maybe I'm getting too much of my doom and gloom from what I'm finding on social media. I find that my joy on any given day is directly correlated to how much time I spend on social media. I just don't really understand it. I don't understand why you would rather be doom and gloom, why you'd be happy if sports were shut down. I thought we loved sports. No? Am I the last one standing? Maybe you that are excited just don't use social media. So we've got a question up. And again, I'd love to hear your reaction to Kyle's stipulation, Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football. Are you more excited for the NBA or NHL restart, and why? Ryan on Twitter, yesterday was my birthday. Hey, happy birthday, Ryan. My beloved Flyers opened the hockey season by beating the Penguins. It was a good day. Now, these are exhibitions, of course, so they don't actually count, but whatever makes you happy. Happy birthday to you. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. And while you're there, make sure you send your last-minute questions for Ask Amy Anything. That's coming up in 25 minutes. 25 minutes? Is it 25 minutes? Probably. 20 minutes-ish. 25 minutes. Somewhere in between those two. If I'm on time, I try to be on time. It doesn't always work. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Bruce Arians. He is not doom and gloom, which is why I like to hear from BA. I don't call him that. That's just his nickname. Bravo, Bruce.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I'm excited to get started, too. Coach Arians on Tom Brady going back to March. It's a little bit of a muddy quality to that conversation. However, we've got some more Coach Arians from Tuesday as all of the veterans who are participating in this 2020 season were expected to report. So it was the last day when veteran NFL players could report. We did see several New England Patriots as well as players from other teams opt out. In fact, a half dozen Patriots have opted out of the season. Two of them starters, Patrick Chung, Dante Hightower, who's already got three Super Bowl rings. Chung is a couple weeks away from a baby being born, and Dante Hightower just became a dad for the first time. And so they have the option of opting out. I'm not saying this is specific to them, but if you are an athlete who has the ability to support yourself, skip a year of big time revenue, maybe because you've already made a lot of money or you got a big signing bonus and you don't want to take that time away from your young child, even there's not like a high risk condition with you or with your family, you still get $150,000 stipend and you can stay home mentally, physically, recover. They don't even have to have a reason. Every athlete in every sport has the ability to opt out. And in the case of high risk athletes, they're still paid. But you don't need to be high risk to decide you don't want to participate this year. It was surprising, though, to see that six different Patriots were taking that approach. And in the case of Hightower, in the case of Chung, they have decided that family right now is where they want to focus, and they have the ability to do that because they've made money that they can use to support their families before this point. But at least at the linebacker position with the Patriots, it's not just Hightower who's not with the team anymore, or not with the team this season. But also, think about it, Kyle Van Noy and Jamie Collins gone this year in free agency. And so that linebacker position, a position that had some great experience and some really incredible players to really be part of what that Patriots defense was the last 2 years. That's taken some major hits. And we're seeing that in various sports and with various franchises where because of injuries or because of players choosing to opt out, you're seeing what was a position of strength and a position with a lot of veteran leadership or a franchise with a bunch of veteran leadership in its clubhouse and in its locker room. You're seeing that kind of tip and teeter over on its end, and it's not the case anymore. I heard this from the Astros radio network as they were kind of considering the pitching options, and we know Justin Verlander is out and they've had some other injuries to their pitching staff. The relievers they had available for last night's game against the Dodgers had 17 collective appearances among them. I mean, just there's not a whole lot available in their bullpen. And so they're needing different guys to go deeper in the rotation. And so, yeah, the whole point of the taxi squads and having larger practice squad rosters in the NFL, is so that they can cover these losses, whether it's because of injuries, because of the, you know, the way they shut down spring training and then ramped up, or because of getting back into it for the NBA and the NHL after all this time. They're trying to protect these teams that would be low on personnel. We know the Clippers, they've got guys who are missing, not all because of the Lou Williams activity or Lou Williams-like activity, but because they've had either guys leave the bubble or they've had guys get injured. And so I've said it over and over and over. It's a situation where there is no blueprint and you just have to go by feel day at a time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You've got a couple of minutes here to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page, and you can at the same time answer our show question. We had a couple of show questions out there, but a couple of questions revolving around NBA, NHL, the return of football. Are you one of those people actually rooting for sports to get completely locked up and shut down and shuttered again? Weird. I don't know why you'd be listening to a sports radio show if that was the case. It doesn't make any sense to me. Many of you will post on our social media sites, I don't care or who cares, and yet there you are. So thanks for that. Let's talk to Crystal, who's in Dallas. Crystal, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. Always good to be on your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the whole Aaron Rodgers situation. I called a couple weeks ago. I was kind of mad about the Cowboys not, re-signing Dak and getting that contract done. But now I'm looking more into this, and I'm going to predict it right now. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Cowboy after next season. You look at the contract with Dak, the franchise tag. I mean, I think they got to make at least the conference championship for them to give him the kind of money that he wants. And you look at the article back in February where Aaron Rodgers was happy for Mike McCarthy getting the Cowboys job. Mike McCarthy's even admitted, in the past that the offense was stagnant, when he was in the end of his coaching days with Green Bay. So I think they kiss and make up, and, it would help, taking on that contract versus paying Dak, the Mahomes-like money that he wants. So I think it's a real strong possibility that that's where the Cowboys are going to go next year. What do you think?
I mean, there's always a chance this relationship with Dak Prescott could turn sour. The fact that they weren't able to get a deal done at the 11th hour. Now, I still say the Cowboys are in a fine position because they're getting him for cheaper, actually, than what they would have had to pay him if they had signed a new deal. And they were hung up on years, not necessarily their relationship. But a lot could hang on this year. What if they decide, as you point out, that they'd rather go in a different direction? That would be an about face, but they have a brand new coach. That's one piece of it. Certainly Mike McCarthy gets a say in what happens with his quarterback position, though we know Jerry Jones has his finger in everything. But the other piece of that is McCarthy with Aaron Rodgers. And while I do agree with you that McCarthy might be willing to pivot and might be willing to let bygones be bygones, I'm not sure that Aaron would. I don't know why. It feels like Aaron's more of a guy who hangs on to that stuff. Aaron, the guy who still remembers every single team that passed over him in the 2005 draft when he fell to 24. Maybe it's just me. Maybe he's not in that position and he would be thrilled to reunite with Coach McCarthy. But I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of water under that bridge. Stranger things have happened, but I don't know. I don't know if you're the Dallas Cowboys, do you bring in an Aaron Rodgers who's nearly 40? I guess it's going to work for the Buccaneers, we think. So maybe.
Well, he would be 37 next year. And I mean, he's probably got about, he says he wants to play until he's 40. I saw on Google that, there's possibility maybe he'd go to the Bears, but I just don't see him, Matt Nagy's offense is kind of, more for like a read option style quarterback. And I think, I just think Dallas would make sense.
Well, okay, but you're pointting to our next season, but how would he get there? Are you assuming that the Green Bay Packers are trading him?
A first or fourth round. Huh. A first round and a fourth round pick probably for Rodgers. And who knows, maybe the Packers might ask, for something cheaper the way that relationship's going.
What relationship?
Between the Rodgers and the Packers, that whole thing is you know, there's obviously some bad blood boiling over there.
See, so I don't think so. I mean, if you listen to Aaron, unless you don't believe Aaron, certainly he's not thrilled that they drafted a quarterback, but do you really think Aaron Rodgers is worried about losing his job?
No, but I mean, like he was saying, he's seen this before. He was the guy behind Brett Favre, and, you know, I don't think, you know, he drafted a quarterback in the first round. You know, he's going to play probably by next year. I don't see him sitting behind Rodgers for more than 2 years, you know.
I mean, that's a lot of speculation. I have no idea. I know if Rodgers goes out and performs the way that Rodgers is capable of, the Packers would be stupid to move him when he is still their best chance of getting back to a Super Bowl, as was evident this season. Now, granted, they had an incredible season at the running back position. You know, we know everything that they did in terms of trying to improve their skill position. So it's not all Aaron Rodgers. Their defense was a lot better. But if... to me, that would be silly. If Rodgers goes out there and has another season that's worthy of a Pro Bowl or something along those lines, and they decide to go to Jordan Love just for the heck of it, I mean, they were one game away from the Super Bowl. I know they got smashed. They absolutely did. But they weren't that far off. They were the number two seed in the NFC. So a lot of it depends on this year, I think, Crystal. I don't know that any of that is set in stone or that anyone's making plans yet.
Yeah, good point. I mean, it's not like the 90s where, like, you know, you draft a quarterback and groom them for like 4 or 5 years. I mean, nowadays it's like you draft a quarterback in the first round, they're expected to play week one, you know. There
sometimes
hasn't really been a quarterback who sat behind a starter for, you know, more than 2 or 3 years, a first-round quarterback that gets drafted.
Patrick Mahomes sat for his whole first season.
Yeah, which he probably could have started. I mean, Alex Smith, he's good, but he ain't, you know. I just think he's a game manager. But
there are worse things in life. All right, Crystal. I appreciate your phone call.
Thanks.
I have to let you go.
Call.
You know, thanks for listening. Thanks for debating. I love to talk quarterbacks. We're obsessed with our QBs. See why there needs to be football? All right, coming up next, Ask Amy Anything. Oh, I didn't even see. This is where I messed up. I took the call. I didn't let you hear from Bruce Arians. I'm a terrible host when it comes to paying off on teases. You will hear from Bruce Arians before the end of the show. I promise, promesa.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
Looked at the questions and since I first opened up the Facebook page. And so I am going to be amazed, dazzled, maybe confused by your questions, but that's where we find ourselves. Ask Amy Anything, part of the Hump Show every week when I am here. And tonight it's Dave behind the microphone. It's producer Chris who chose the questions. It's always a little dangerous, but we are ready to go.
Well, let's start with a
Aren't we ready to go?
Oh, we're ready to go. Always. Let's start with one of those confusing, interesting questions.
Great.
So John has a complete hypothetical. Let's go back in time and say you're 18 years old, but everything stands as it is today.
Okay.
All right. So
for the record, I wouldn't go back to 18, but okay.
Me neither. But another story for another day. If you could choose any school to get a full athletic ride, a full scholarship to, which university would you choose?
It's hard to go back to 18-year-old me and not have the knowledge that I have now. And so I'm going to say Syracuse because at the time that I got my master's degree there, so I started doing my play-by-play when I was there. It was my opportunity to break into broadcasting and to really understand, to learn from some of the giants in the business at the time. I would choose Syracuse because I borrowed more than $20,000 to go there for the 1 year and only paid it off maybe 5 years ago. It was more than $20,000, but also because it was the top radio and TV broadcasting school in the country. In fact, it was named in U.S. News and World Report. I don't even know if that magazine still exists. It was named in U.S. News and World Report as the number one broadcasting grad school in the United States. And I got in. It was a huge deal to get into the grad class, and I learned all the basics. Everything from finding a job to writing for broadcast to carrying myself in front of a camera and speaking on radio. I mean, the training ground was incredible. It was the hardest year of my life. I did 36 credits in a calendar year, but it was so critical for where I am today and the people that I came in contact with, some of whom I'm still in touch with, some of whom are still resources. So I can't go back and not know what I know now. So if I was 18 and I could have gotten into Syracuse without paying for it, great. However, I paid that loan off and here I am. So Syracuse all the way.
All right, let's move on to Joe with a sports question. So with all the talk of, you know, potential doom and gloom in sports, if you could pick only one of the major sports leagues that could have its entirety of its season go through, playoffs, championship and all, which one would you choose?
Absolutely the NFL. We got most of the NBA season. We got most of the NHL season. It would stink if there were not any champions crowned. But at this point, it's the end of July. And it's unnatural to have these sports on the court and the ice. I'm glad we're going to see them back. It's great that their bubbles are working. I'm thrilled for it. Can't wait for them to tip off and drop the puck. But the fall, and let's be honest, it's not just the fall. Without the NFL, think about where we would have been in these last 4.5 months. You remember free agency, then the draft, all the news from the NFL. It was, for 2 months, it was keeping us afloat in sports radio and TV. Without the NFL, the fall would be depressing. As a fan, as a broadcaster, if I could only choose one, because I could do a year-round show about nothing except football. I've often thought about if I was going to take a job at one network that only focused on one sport, could I do it? Absolutely. NFL, you can talk about year round and it's interesting no matter what. So we need the NFL season. We do.
I'm on board with that. Gary asks, have you ever had a chance to be in a live studio audience? And if not, which show would you like to choose to be in?
Oh, that's fun. No, I've never been part of a live studio audience. That's a great question. I'm not much into talk shows, but I do enjoy because I grew up in news, I think it would be really cool. There's no live studio audience for, say, the CBS Evening News, but to be behind the scenes and to see how it operates, I think would be really fascinating. I love when you've got the cameramen, the directors, the producers, all of that making these coordinated decisions. To me, that would be really cool to be in a TV truck for, say, an evening news production. Or, I'll just be honest, I'm a total weather nerd. If I could be in the live studio audience for the Weather Channel, let's say one of their morning broadcasts or a broadcast where Jim Cantore is in studio, maybe they don't have live studio audiences, which I really think they could probably sell tickets for. But if that was the case, if I could pick any broadcast, it would be some Weather Channel broadcast where I could just hang out and watch everything that's happening. To me, that's fascinating.
Sounds fun.
Weather Channel. I'm a total nerd.
But you made it sound fun, though.
If not that, then Friends. But we can't go back and do that again. But for sure, Friends.
Nah, that I like. So let's move on to Todd. He says, what is your favorite baseball park you've ever been to? Which is the next you're going to visit?
Okay.
And which one do you like to visit if you've never been to before?
All right. So my favorite one ever is PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Fantastic atmosphere, incredible setup. I sat in the outfield. It was actually a first date, weirdly enough. Sat in the outfield, maybe 8 rows off of the field. Really incredible. And yet there's not a bad seat in the house. So I love PNC Park. My next one that I'm going to visit, that's a great question. I don't actually know that. I take that back. I've been to Nationals Park. I've been to Baltimore. I have not been to Philadelphia yet. Certainly been to Fenway Park. Obviously been to both Citi Field and Yankee Stadium. Wrigley Field was also really amazing. I loved going to Wrigley Field for all of its history. The two that I really want to visit in person, I don't know if it's not still AT&T Park in San Francisco, is it? It's changed names, hasn't it? But McCovey Cove, I want to sit either in McCovey Cove or I want to be able to see McCovey Cove from the stadium. So the ballpark in San Francisco, I'm desperate to see that one. And Chavez Ravine, Dodger Stadium. Do you know that is the oldest park that's the oldest one that was built in the 60s? Like going back to that, that's still obviously not Wrigley or Fenway Park. But it's still in its original configuration. They're doing a lot of upgrades to it to make it more modern. But it is a historical landmark, and I really want to visit Dodger Stadium as well.
It's a good answer, and I had to look it up because I couldn't think of it myself. The Giants play at Oracle Park.
They
call it now.
That's what it's called now?
Yep.
Oracle, like the Oracle that the Warriors just left?
Yep.
Oh. I could have guessed about 7-8 different times and wouldn't have come up with that.
So let's move on to I'm going to call it a weird question.
Oh, great.
Tom wants to know, have you ever just gotten in a random mood for Christmas or Christmas songs and come mid-July, mid-August, have you ever just thrown on some Christmas music in the house?
No, but I have played Christmas music on my piano at random times because there are a lot of Christmas carols that have great great piano stanzas to them, great piano parts to them. And so I really have enjoyed at times pulling a Christmas carol book or a hymnal out of my piano bench and playing a couple Christmas carols. I know that sounds crazy, but some of them are really cool on the piano.
They actually go way back in time. I used to play the piano when I was little, and you learn a lot of, you know, Christmas music.
Yes, so you do. That's awesome.
That.
In fact, I did it in April, I believe, in the middle of being stuck at home. I was playing the piano, and I decided I wanted to play Christmas music. So,
hey, why not? I don't think I've ever done that, though, mid-July. I'm just not thinking about Christmas music to put
on
around the house.
People who start decorating in late October annoy me. People who are playing Christmas music for 7 weeks annoy me. Yeah, I'm not one of those let's go crazy and throw up Christmas all over the place when we're not even past Thanksgiving yet. That's not me. I do love Christmas, but I can only do Christmas in December.
My son used to be a cashier at an arts and crafts store, and they would put out things before the other holidays have even happened yet.
No.
So it's not even Halloween, and they're putting out Christmas stuff. Yeah, I can't stop.
No!
Let's go to another baseball question. Scott wants to know, do you think this Dodgers and Astros rivalry is going to be longstanding, or do you think after this season or a couple times that they play, it's just going to disappear?
Oh, I don't think it's going to disappear. This was intense. The atmosphere was ripe, and there were no fans in the stands. Think about what it's going to be like when this series then goes to Los Angeles and when it happens with a full ballpark of crazy, angry, refusing to let it go fans. I was under the impression we wouldn't have any retaliation. I honestly thought the Dodgers and Astros would be focused on everything else happening in baseball. And yet Joe Kelly stepped up to the plate in a manner of speaking. And so I'm sorry. I loved it. I think it's great for baseball, and I do not feel bad for the Astros. Not even one little bit do I feel bad for the Astros. Does Joe Kelly need to act like a 10-year-old? No. But do the Astros deserve to get raked over the coals? Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree there. So it's an interesting question as well. Sandy wants to know, you have three choices, and you have to live there all year round. Somewhere that's hot and humid, hot and really dry, or just somewhere that's cold all year round. Where are you going?
Oh, those are my only three options.
That's it. That's according to Sandy. This is the only places in the world right now.
Oh, well, that's hard. I prefer the cold over the heat and humidity. The humidity is the part that just saps me. I don't mind hot and dry. So say Arizona, and I know it gets super hot. A friend who lives in Indian Wells, and she actually just had her first baby on Friday. She was still walking the week that she gave birth, and yet she was walking when it was 100 degrees at 7 a.m. But it's a dry heat. It's different than you're in an oven. You're not in a sauna, if you can kind of understand. So if I had to choose, I would say hot and dry. But I'll be honest, I'm not moving anywhere that doesn't have four seasons or at least three seasons, because I love the variety in seasons. I love the fact that it changes so often and that you get all kinds of different weather. It's one of the reasons I love the Northeast, is because there are always different weather patterns, and you get the rain and you get the flowers and you get the cold. I love snow. I could never move anywhere without snow. So it's off the table, Sandy. I'm sorry. I'm not that. I can't be put into that box. I'm not that one-dimensional when it comes to my weather.
There were only three options.
So. I know, it's just not fair.
Sorry, Sandy.
It's not fair.
We're moving on to Gene. Gene wants to know, what kind of movie or genre of movie do you think you want to watch when movie theaters open back up?
Oh, all about the action, the drama. I used to be a chick flicker, and I don't mind those if you have the right people to watch them with. But on the big screen, when you're paying $18, more than that if you're watching an IMAX at night, I'd rather see lots of explosions, lots of big action. I'm really into crime dramas, really into, I can't wait to see Top Gun Maverick come out. I watched a trailer for that. Actually, it was more, it was a trailer, but it was through the eyes of Tom Cruise. Incredible. I mean, it's actual flying, and they take you into the cockpit. I don't know when the movie is coming out. We don't know when it was supposed to come out this month. It didn't. But yeah, that type of action and drama on the big screen, that's what I'll pay for. I can watch the chick flick at home. Although I did see Downton Abbey on the big screen. My mom and I went for her birthday last year, and I had to sit in the front row and stare straight up at the ginormous screen. It was a good movie, but I don't really know how much of it I missed because I couldn't see the sides or the corners. Yeah, so if I'm going big screen, I'm going big or I'm going home. I'm not paying that kind of money unless I'm going to get the bang. And I do mean the bang, boom, shakalaka for my buck. So you can continue to send your questions. The guys are constantly looking for them throughout the week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.